thrilled to be able to hear that great old song again. What a lovely name. That was a joy to hear all the special music this morning. That kind of has a special place in my heart after night for so long. Sitting there sometimes playing bass guitar, listening to the happy goodness in that song. What a great song. I looked for Sister Vessel, but Carol, we need to multiply you to the third exponent, I believe. But that was wonderful. Psalm 32 this morning, the first five verses of Psalm 32 for the first three readings. Psalm 32, verse 1. Psalm 32 and verse 1, you will notice that it's headed a Psalm of David, Mashal, or instruction. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Back to the first psalm, if you would, please. Psalm 1. And again, our reading will take us beginning at verse 1, and then through this short psalm. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither or fade, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. And finally, please, back to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And our reading here will begin at verse 24. John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace unto you. And saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, but be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. Now that God will bless to us this reading together from his precious word. It's a joy to be with you today, especially on Mother's Day. One of the great blessings, frankly, of our lives either are or once were our mothers. Maybe today is a little bit bittersweet for some of you if your mothers are with the Lord. I understand that thoroughly. It's one of the great blessings of life. Lately, I've really been thinking quite a bit about the blessings that we have in our lives. We sometimes take these things for granted. At least I do. Can't answer for you. But I've found it very necessary to just take a step backward. And again, kind of just sometimes with a very humbled and shamed heart, say, Lord, it really has been a while since I thanked you for this blessing or that blessing. So I've begun to do a little bit of a study of the Word over the last couple of weeks. And amongst a myriad of places in the Bible where we read the little word blessed. I've chosen three today. And I hope that it will be, no pun intended, a blessing to your heart today. We find in the 32nd Psalm that we have been forgiven and so blessed. We find in the first Psalm that we have been set apart if we are in Christ and we have been blessed. And we are a people of anticipation as we read in John chapter 20. And because of that, we are a blessed people. Forgiven. Forgiven. The psalmist could say, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, we're good at times at covering up our own sin. That's not the intent here at all. Please don't think that this is what the psalmist David is instructing in this 32nd Psalm. He's not saying that we are to lift the carpet of our lives up and just kind of sweep the sin under and pretend it never happened and that it's not there. That's not the point. In fact, to be honest, another scriptural admonition tells us that he, and we might say, or she, who covers their sin shall not prosper. So that's not what he's saying here. He's talking about forgiveness. And it's oh so different than just being covered. Now, in the Old Testament economy, once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, bearing a basin of blood, the blood of an innocent victim. And he would carry that in behind the veil. And you would imagine what it must have been like for the nation of Israel, probably at least several million strong, standing watching as the high priest went in. In fact, history tells us that quite often they would have a very substantial scarlet cord, the priest. This is not biblical, but history tells us. They would have this cord knotted securely around their waist, and it was a long cord. It would trail them by many feet. And if the, for whatever reason, the Lord did not accept their sacrifice that year, and being in the presence of the Holy of Holies would cause, of course, even the high priest to be instantly struck dead. No one would have ever been able to go into the presence of that kind of a holy God and retrieve the body. And they would use that cord, if necessary, to pull out the high priest. That's how conscious they were at times, certainly that time of year, of the holiness of God. He would bear that basin of blood and present it before God. And if he returned, it would prove that it was accepted by God for the temporary covering of sin. And for another year, the nation of Israel would be under the blood. Now, it's different for us today, and I'm thankful for it. We have not been redeemed with the blood of bulls or of goats or any other kind of sacrifice. But rather, says the writer to the Hebrews, we have been born of the Son of God as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We have literally been born by the Son of God through his own shedding of his own precious blood. And because of that, we are forgiven. It strikes me because of the people that I meet, you'll bear with me for a second while I pick up one of the lenses of my glasses, lest I step on it. This is really something. If any of you are opticians today, I need to see you because I can't keep this thing in. Fell out driving up last night, too, and I almost ran off 95, looking for it on the floor of my car. So it's really gotten to be a critical problem going on there. I'll just leave it there, and there it'll stay. But some people that I meet today who have gotten saved recently, it's a growing thing. They're bringing more and more baggage to the cross. Things from their life. I have met people that if you hear their stories, it is astounding. And you think, how in the world did somebody like that ever get saved when it's all said and done? There's not much that they haven't tried. I had a man who looked at me one time. He had his hand on my shoulder, and I was glad it was just put there gently. He was 6'7". Every place I could see except one or two spots on his forehead, covered with the most awful of tattoos. He had even those teardrops tattooed in there. And he looked at me and he said, with one possible exception, you couldn't name a sin or a transgression that I haven't committed multiple times. I went, What's that one exception? He said, I don't really know if I've actually ever murdered anybody. I said, you've got to be kidding. He said, no. He said, I've been in crowds where murders took place. But he said, I was so out of it, I don't know if I was the one. So he said, with that possible exception, you could not think of a thing that I haven't done. And I stared at him that day and I said, wow, Trophy is great. He's going on, by the way, extremely well for the Lord. Just a gentle giant who brought an amazing amount of baggage to the cross. It's easy for a person like that to understand the concept of forgiveness. You are guilty one moment, and the next, you're forgiven. But there are some of us here today, and we might have been raised very differently and had very different lives. Maybe saved at a very young age. One of my good friends who does what I do for a living was saved at the age of 4. And at the age of 4, you don't really go out into the world and try all of the things that the world has to offer. It might have been a little harder for him to grasp the concept of forgiveness. But while he had less to be forgiven of, and less years of sin to be forgiven of, he still knew that he needed forgiveness. And chances are you might be here today, and you say to yourself, I don't feel very blessed at all. In fact, I know I need to be forgiven. And if you're here, I'm thrilled to tell you that by virtue of the fact that we are still here, and the day of grace is still open, it has been lengthened yet again, for at least one more Sunday, you can leave this place forgiven of the sins that you walked in with. It's an amazing thing. An amazing concept. And thank God for it. Because our sins are not covered by us, but they have literally been covered by God. A song written probably 30 years or so ago says this, I have the blood on the door of my heart, and all my life is beneath its crimson flow, so that when God looks at me, he no more sees the things I've done, for he sees me through the blood of his crucified son. This is an amazing mystery when you think about it. You and I maybe forget. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you that I sure do. I forget with the best of them at times. And afterwards you think, I don't believe I forgot that. But I did. We're human. We are prone at times to forgetfulness. But God is omniscient, meaning he's all-knowing. And he's omnipresent, meaning that he is in all of the world at one and the same time. He's here right now while he's in the other side of the world and everywhere in between. God is omnipresent. Don't ask me to explain it because I can't, but faith demands that I rest on it and I have no problems with it at all because I just know that that's the truth. God's word says it. But an omniscient God cannot forget. So how can a person, for instance, if it was us, how could a person that could never forget a thing be made to forget something? But how much more the God of the universe, with whom forgetfulness is an impossibility, how could he ever forget something? He can't. And so concerning my sins, and hopefully all of ours today, he has made a conscious, willing choice to remember them no more. And I love that. Vastly different from forgetfulness. We're forgiven. No charge. No iniquity. No guile. Blessed is that man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. On the record book of our life, there is no debit column anymore that records and has put down in order all of my iniquities and all of my transgressions. None whatsoever. It's utterly been blotted out because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of almost enough to make you happy this morning, isn't it? When you think about that. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. The psalmist who is unnamed in the first psalm says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Once a person comes to Christ and is saved, the life is saved only if that person walks day by day with the Lord Jesus. The soul is secure. But we have that constant tug of war going on within. Old nature, new nature, old nature tugging one way, the new nature another. We have the works of the flesh against the works of the spirit, just a constant struggle. One of the great encouraging sections of the Bible was written by none other than the great apostle Paul himself. And here's what he wrote. He said, the things that I would do, I do not. And the things that I would not, those I do. O wretched man that I am, who will ever deliver me from this body of destruction. And I have taken such comfort in my life in knowing that if somebody like Paul, the great apostle for the Gentiles, had such a struggle with that tug of war between the natures, then I'm in pretty good company. In pretty good company indeed. My soul is secure, saved eternally. The most, and I say this guardedly today, the most carnal believer alive today is still no less saved than we are. The bottom line is, then our lives must count for God. And so we have to be set apart. There's a blessing in being set apart. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What a great thing. But you'll notice that there is really a retrogression here. Walk, stand, and sit. Now, thankfully here, because the blessings are attached to it, we have the little word not. And so this is kind of in reverse. The whole thing is written in reverse. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands not in the way of sinners, and sits not in the seat of the scornful. See, if you reverse the blessing of God that comes from the new birth, this is inevitably what's going to happen in our lives. There are people that they have walked well for the Lord for a long time. Then they just kind of slowed down, and eventually they were standing, and you see them at times, it's sad to behold, and spiritually they're just sitting, not really moving. It doesn't even necessarily imply that they're going backwards, mind you. This is their sitting. They're stopped. Kind of dead in the water. If there's anyone here today, and once upon a time you went on well for the Lord, I must tell you that there are blessings that you are missing, and I say that with all of the kindness of my heart. There are blessings that you're really missing. First thing when a baby is born that they really can do at all is roll over. When a baby turns over, it's a big deal. And then eventually they'll pull themselves up as their strength develops and as their frame gets a little bit stronger and more dense. And then eventually you'll see them sitting up. And you remember those times. And you moms remember it well, even if it's been a lot of years, when those little children pulled themselves up on a coffee table or something. And then there was that time when they let go with their hands and they just kind of wobbled a little bit and then sat ever so gently as only a baby seems to be able to. But eventually, they stood. And you knew it was just going to be days, maybe weeks, before they'd be walking all over. And that's the progression that we like to see. If it doesn't happen, then something's seriously wrong, and you need attention. You need help. The same is true spiritually. When we were first saved, we were not necessarily expected to give some kind of a homiletically and hermeneutically correct exposition of the revelation the day after you were saved. But you wanted to see the people that were new babies filled with new life and joy and happiness. It's a great thing to behold. You also want to see them learning to take some baby steps. Hopefully you'll see them finally sitting, strong and ready to pull themselves up. And eventually you'll see them not just walking, but running in the race of the Christian life. But when you see, spiritually speaking, people start to digress, and you see this retrogression happening, you realize there's a myriad of blessings when this happens in our lives that we really, really are being cheated from enjoying. Here's the delight and the passion of the person whose life is going to count for God in verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is a person who knows much of the blessing of God, because, frankly, they have been greatly enjoying the Word of God. Not rocket science, folks. This is as simple as it gets. I am convinced that in this very busy, busy era in which we live, we're all really just maybe a bit remiss in spending the time that we need to if we are going to progress in the Word of God. I remember once, some years back, I'm now in, year 13 or 14, I'm not sure, of doing this. But back when I was in business, and it's still a vivid memory, I was working, as some of you knew, for Merrill Lynch, the investment firm, putting in a lot of hours, anywhere from 65 to 80 or 90 hours a week, just routinely, oftentimes 100 or more hours a week. And during the last 5 years that I was with that firm, I was averaging about 40, 42 weekends a year
going out speaking and or singing. And so it was really busy. Busiest time, to be honest, of my life. And nothing that I have the energy to do again, if truth be told. But the bottom line is that one time I came home on Wednesday night, and I was delighted because I'd actually finagled the Friday off, and the next day was Thanksgiving Day. We were going to have Thanksgiving dinner at about 2 in the afternoon. We had some family and some friends coming, people even from our local assembly. And I said to Carol, I'm going to take advantage of the morning and get the ladder out and clean out the gutters. This is when we still lived in Annapolis, Maryland. I said, I'm going to clean out the gutters. She said, well, that's a job that you hate. And I said, I hate it more than anything. I don't like heights in any way, shape, or form. But I said, it has to be done. And it was just one of those years that was cold. And I said, before anything happens, ice or snow or anything like that, I better get the gutters cleaned out. Well, I got the whole second floor done in fear and great trembling. And now I was on the gutters for the first floor, and that was bad enough. I didn't like that much better, to be honest. But at least I was only 8 or 10 feet above the ground, whatever they happened to be. And I remember Carol came out, and she was, that's my wife, and she was standing there, and she was just very quiet. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, I don't know, something's just been bothering me about lately. And I said, about me? I couldn't imagine that. And she said, yeah. And I said, uh-oh, what? And she said, I don't want you to get mad. And I said, who, me? Never. And she said, I don't see you reading your Bible like you used to. But it's just for the joy of reading. She said, every time that I see you with it right now, you're putting something together, a message together. Instantly, I knew she was right. Didn't make it hurt less, but I knew she was right. And I said, now, wait a minute. I said, how many hours a week do I work? And oftentimes I'll have to either fly out on Friday evening or leave sometime Saturday exhausted and drive to go somewhere, maybe not get back until 1 or 2 in the morning, be back at my desk at 7:30, be out at meeting Tuesday night, maybe the elders meeting on Thursday night, and to try to help on Friday night with Awana if I'm not going away again. I said, and in the middle of that, I'm supposed to be a husband and a dad. So, she said, excuse me. I didn't like it at all. She said, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. And she went into the house. It wasn't 5 minutes later that I got down off the ladder and I walked in and I said, you know what? I need to apologize because you really are right. I lost the joy. I was just sitting for the delight of listening to the voice of God. It's one of the great blessings that we need to just kind of re-embrace, I think, as a church. And you will notice that in verse 3, if we live that way, there will be fruitfulness. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. The leaf won't fade, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, what a contrast is found in the remainder of this chapter, of this little psalm. It said the ungodly aren't like that. They're like the chaff that the wind just blows away. Imagine, just picture in your mind, I don't know, pick a tree. I don't know why, but mangrove came to me for the first, but that's kind of in the deep south or over in the island. I think of the mangrove trees that grow not only beside, but actually right out in. They encroach in the water. And if you have ever tried to yuck a mangrove tree out, you have a task on your hand. They're in water, but their roots go down so deeply. And that's what I think of whenever I read this verse. You put that picture in one side of your mind, and on the other side, just imagine in the ancient times, where the farmers would have used some kind of a scythe or something to cut down the grain, the wheat, and they would have bundled it up and put it to a threshing floor, taking these big rakes with wooden forks in the rakes, and they would take it up in the evening in the cool of the day when the breeze would kick up. And they would go one piece at a time, one little shovelful at a time. They would throw it up into the night air, and the chaff, the part that was useless, would just blow away into another pile, and the good wheat would fall. They would separate it every night, probably through the day too. But you just picture those two things. One tree rooted, another just like chaff, being carried about on every wind. And you see the picture of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, not just the soul forgiven,
thank God, a life saved and blessed. John chapter 20, we need to really fly through this. I'm sorry, the time is about gone. The Lord Jesus is towards the end now of his upper room or farewell ministry to his disciples. He has wanted to give them, and indeed has given them, some outstanding teaching. The reason being, he was about to leave them. This was in the very shadows, as it were, of Golgotha. He was about to go away, and he needed to instruct them, encourage them, challenge them. But he wanted to give them great blessings and promise too, and he did. He mentioned the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that was going to come, that while he would not be with them bodily anymore, he was going to actually send one who would be, not just bodily, but indwelling them, the one that he called the Comforter. He gave them the clearest instruction in the Bible on prayer in the upper room ministry of Christ. But now he wants them to understand the great blessings of worshiping him even when he was not there. Now we picture the scene. There's a man named Thomas. He's often called Doubting Thomas. I don't like that, actually. I think he's kind of normal Thomas myself. Don't know about you, but I see a whole lot of myself in his occasional attitude. He was a disciple of the Lord Jesus. But one day, when most of the disciples, if not all of them, were there gathered together, after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, they were all there except for Thomas. Now look, if somebody came right through that brick wall right there and stood in our midst, it'd be a little staggering, wouldn't it? And frankly, since we've never seen it happen before, and aren't likely to anytime soon, it might be a little hard for us to believe, well, these people hadn't seen it happen either. Till all of a sudden, standing in their presence, coming in a sealed room and without the need of a locked door, where the disciples were there in fear and trembling, stands the Lord Jesus himself. And he holds out his hand. And he said, I want you to look at my hand. And you can imagine him just pulling up that outer garment, letting them see the wounds that were inflicted there when that soldier took a spear and thrust it into his side to hasten death. 8 days later, Thomas is with them this time. Thomas has already had a little session. He has come back, and they said, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He's risen. And Thomas, if we can paraphrase, said, is that a fact? Well, I'll tell you, unless I see with my own eyes the nail print, that would have been bad enough. But then he said, unless I take my finger and thrust it in, and take my hand and thrust it into his side, I will not believe. Folks, we really shouldn't ever talk behind anybody's back. But if you're ever going to do that, make sure that he isn't the Lord. He sort of has a way of hearing these things. And the Lord Jesus sort of just put it away in his mind. 8 days later, they're all gathered together, and this time Thomas is with them. The Lord Jesus comes right back in the same way, and he didn't waste time on pleasantries with anybody else. Just got right down before Thomas. Thomas, look at my hand. Now take your finger, Thomas, and thrust it right into the nail print. And he would have raised that outer garment again while Thomas would have been standing there in horror. And he said, and take your hand. Go ahead. Thrust it into my side. Don't be faithless. Rather be believing. Thomas, to his credit, did the only thing that he could do. Just in awe and wonder, he fell to his knees. And he simply said, my Lord and my God. Actually, in his native tongue, it was only two, possibly three, but maybe even just two words. But we get five out of it. The Lord Jesus said something to him that was really interesting. He said, Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Causes me amazing delight this morning, and I hope it does you too if you know Christ as Savior, to recognize that the Son of God himself, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, considers us blessed.
whom having not seen, we love. We have fallen in love with one who purchased us at an enormous cost, and we've never met him. We have pledged allegiance for this life and in the life which is to come. We have anchored every bit of hope now and then on one that we have never seen, never heard his voice directly. We've never touched him. And we won't, as long as we're on this planet. He put huge, huge blessings on that. And I'm thankful for it. So I looked this morning over a bunch of blessed people. And I hope you all know Christ as Savior and are blessed and considered that by God. Some of the blessings. The blessings of being forgiven. The blessings of having a life that is set apart alone for God as we learn of Him and as we serve Him. And the blessings of anticipation, knowing that one day He who said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That same one considers us today with all of our faults and our foolishness and our failures. And He looks at us as blessed. May it bless your hearts today. May God bless you for it. Father, we are so thankful for the great truths of the Word of God. We're thankful for the blessings. We sometimes sing, praise Christ, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're thankful for all of the blessings of life. We're thankful, our Father, that the Bible actually calls us blessed. We feel the blessings, but we're staggered when we think that God considers us as blessed people. If there's anybody here today and they have never had that moment in their life when their sins were forgiven, their iniquities covered, we pray, our Father, that by faith they might come today, confess to Thee that they are a sinner, and ask that the Lord Jesus will come in and forgive them of their sins and be reached and saved. Grant, Father, a great blessing upon us today, especially the moms here today. We are indeed thankful for our mothers. We're thankful, Father, some of us perhaps for the memories of mothers that have gone. And we think it's still so true that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Oh, what a blessing mothers are. For their love and for their counsel and for their unswerving support, we just give grateful thanks. Part us now with your blessings, we pray, as we commit ourselves into your care. In Jesus' name. Amen.